Make sure you get a copy. There's help keep you awake during the Sunday school hour. Hopefully you had enough coffee to help you with that as well. I did. I've been teaching Revelation on Sunday nights at our church at Grace Baptist in Parker. And we've come to Revelation chapter 7. And so I'm just going to give you something that I've been teaching our folks back there. Actually, in a two-part series today, we're going to look at the first 8 verses here at Sunday school. If you come back at 1:30, we'll look at verses 9 through 17, Revelation chapter 7. And if you've ever had any question or you've been confronted with people that want to be one of the 144,000 in the tribulation, we're going to look at that today. Hopefully, if nothing else, if it's something that you didn't already know, maybe you'll have some wisdom in trying to answer someone. As the Bible says, Peter said, be ready always to give an answer, to give a defense of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. So Revelation chapter 7, we'll read the first 8 verses, and then we'll give some thought to the 144,000. Revelation 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, were sealed 12,000. So if you were listening this morning, how many from each tribe were sealed? Very good. Okay. You were listening. So the 144,000, this is part of people getting saved, coming from death to life, the power of Satan unto God, from the beast to the Messiah during the tribulation. I'm sure people have asked you, they've asked me, many people have asked, will people be saved during the tribulation? Well, obviously the answer is yes. We see that here. But just who will be saved is the subject of this chapter, Revelation chapter 7. So by studying Revelation 7, we can not only determine who can be saved or who will be saved, but also we can find wisdom to refute the claims of some cults in regard to this number, the 144,000. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God Almighty, we're excited about what is ahead in 2025. Whatever is ahead in this year, we know that maybe sooner than we think, there's going to be a period of time called the tribulation, which according to Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 9, is a week of years. It will be 7 years. And so during this time called the tribulation that Jeremiah calls the time of Jacob's trouble for the nation of Israel, for God's chosen people, the Jews, it will be a time when through trials and through the conviction of God, you will draw them to yourself, a remnant, and many Gentiles will be saved as well, as we'll see this afternoon from verses 9 through 17. So God, I pray that this will be practical this morning, that you help me to rightly divide your truth, and that, Lord, we can be armed with the Word of God, the correctness of what's ahead, as much as we see here in the Scriptures, to be ready and willing to give an answer to others who are searching and seeking. And God, it seems that in this day and age, many people are searching. Many people are seeking. Many people are asking questions because, God, you are at work in our world. You surely are at work in our nation. And even through the cataclysmic events, God, you're getting people's attention. So, Lord, help us now to be able to study your word so that we can glory in you and for the good of others. In Jesus' name, amen. So just by way of review, the book of Revelation, we know, is the revealing of not just cataclysmic events, it's the revealing of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse, the unveiling, is of Jesus Christ, and yes, of images and of judgments and of things that are to come. But we need to keep in mind that Revelation is primarily the unveiling of Christ. We need to see Him in every chapter and know that from chapters 1, 2, and 3, where we see the glory of Christ presented and the letters to the seven churches, it's about Jesus. And so it's about not only warning people about what's ahead, it's also inviting them to understand and to know Jesus Christ personally. And so from chapter 1, we're the Alpha and the Omega, the description of Christ at the beginning and the ending. And in chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches that were in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey in our age, and maybe seeing a picture of our church in one of those churches, and individually trying to take application ourselves as to whether or not we're lukewarm or hot for God, whatever the case. We can see Jesus in that in chapters 4 and 5. There's the matter of the 24 elders and the four living creatures, and they're around the throne of God, and this majestic scene, and the streets like crystal of pure gold, and all these things that someday we're going to see with our own eyes. And then the only one who was worthy to open the seals or to unveil what was going to be contained that is open with the seals, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Only He is worthy. But then in chapters 6 and following, we're going to see these great judgments. And from chapter 6, there were the four seals, and we might call the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and there was a white horse that I believe is the image of a conqueror who's going to come with a bow, but there's no arrows. He's not going to win by war. He's going to win by words. I believe it's a picture of the Antichrist, a conqueror who is to come. There's a second horse, the red horse, which represents war. Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars, but even more so as the end of time is coming. There's a black horse, which represents famine. Many times after war, there's famine. The resources for food are taken away. And there's going to be many that die because of famine. And then the fourth horse is a pale horse representing death. All of these things together. Many people will die. Basically, two-thirds of the earth will perish during the course of the tribulation. So these first four judgments. And then the fifth seal is the seal unveiling the faithful martyrs. People, if they will stand for Christ and not take the mark of the beast, will take the mark of Christ, and they will die for their faith. There will be people that will survive the tribulation and come into the millennium, only those who trust Christ during that time, but most will die. There will be a remnant. But the fifth seal is about the faithful martyrs. And then the sixth seal is open, and it's cataclysmic. There's an earthquake. An earthquake like the earth has never seen. The sun will become black. The moon will turn into what looks like blood. The stars will fall from heaven, or at least celestial bodies like meteorites or asteroids, whatever will be falling. The Bible says the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. There'll be such a movement upon the earth and what appears in the sky. It's like the sky looks like it's never looked before. People will hide, and they will see somehow in heaven the face of the Lamb. Hide us from the face of the Lamb. They'll flee to the rocks and the crevices of the earth. But those people will be blaspheming God and not turning to God, even in the midst of a crisis. It's amazing what a crisis will bring in the hearts of people. People will either become better because they will flee to God and see the grace of God in a crisis, or they will become bitter because they will cry out against God, like the woman on the street in the Pacific Palisades, but by God's grace, He brought a pastor her way to pray with her, and we pray that by the grace of God, she'll trust Christ as her Savior. So a little review of the seal judgments, and now we come to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, we're going to see God's sovereign power when he commands the four angels representing the four corners of the earth. It's been said that some years ago, before Christopher Columbus and others believed that the earth was round, would use that passage to think that the earth is flat, there's four corners, and you sail out, you're going to fall off someplace. But that's not the image. The image is that from north to south and east to west, God is going to command these angels to hold back the judgment. Actually, it's the fifth angel that's mentioned here. He's going to command these four angels to hold back the four winds that are going to continue the judgments that began in chapter 6. You know, as I read this passage, I couldn't help but think of the power of wind to bring judgment, or the power of wind to fan the fires that are in Los Angeles. Those Santa Ana winds, they would not have nearly the destruction that they've experienced there without those winds coming off the ocean. But the four winds representing judgment, whether God's attention, I don't know. Some said that when Katrina, the hurricane, hit New Orleans, it was a judgment upon New Orleans, which can be a wicked city, as we know. Whatever the case, we all have wickedness. Well, the four angels were commanded by the fifth one represented here in the first part of Revelation 7, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So the servants of our God, who were they? Well, every tribe is going to be represented here from verses 5 through 8. And so these are sealed Jews from every tribe of Israel. And what's significant about a seal? What is significant about the mark of God upon these 144,000? Well, we all know that there's another mark that's been being given in the tribulation period. And what is that? It's the mark of the beast. Even the devil himself, through the Antichrist, is aspiring to mark those who will surrender to him. And so they are marked. God is sealing his Jewish saints here. And we have to believe that this is happening, not that it happened and he just planted these people in time. They have come into the tribulation. They were alive before the rapture, and they've come into the tribulation, and they are being converted by faith just like you and me. And in Revelation chapter 14, which also speaks of the 144,000, the Bible says these were redeemed. These were redeemed. When we think of redemption, when we think of something that's redeemed, especially spiritually, it's the Lord Jesus Christ redeeming us, buying us back from our sin and the penalty of our sin, and bringing us into the family of God. So these aren't just plants that God sends down from heaven to be 144,000 Jews. These people are turning to Christ. They're repenting of their sin. And how all that comes about, we are not told. But God is sealing those who are going to have a special ministry. And so what's significant about the seal is it's God's mark. It's God's stamp of ownership, God's stamp of authority. And it's for their protection from the beast. It's for their power that they're going to manifest, especially among God's chosen people, the Jews. And it's for the promise of what's ahead. These may very well be the foundation of the millennial kingdom coming from every tribe of Israel. God still has a plan and a purpose for those that were from Old Testament Israel all the way through the millennium. And those that try to say today that the church is now Israel, and we're not talking so much about whether you're dispensational or whatever your particular theology is about how God works in time. God has a plan for the nation of Israel. God has a plan for Gentiles. God has a plan for all of us. And so he has not forgotten his people. And he's putting his stamp upon these 144,000. Some may say that these are just, because there's so many images that you can't necessarily put your finger on and identify with absolute certainty in Revelation. Some will say these are just representative of what God's going to do. The 144,000 is not necessarily a definite number. Well, I think our interpretation of Scripture should be upon historical and grammatical interpretation and a literal sense, unless the Bible makes it clear otherwise. And so there are some allegorical things that you may find here in Revelation, but I have no reason to think this is not a definite number unless God makes it clear otherwise. So these are sealed Jews from every tribe of Israel. And they are marked for the purpose of protection and power upon their lives and promise of what's to come. And I believe they're going to have an impact upon the Gentiles that follow in verses 9 through 17 that we'll look at this afternoon. So number two there, under who they are men. You say, well, why is that important? Well, when I first thought of this, if you didn't read Revelation 14, you might think, well, are these men? Are these women? Are these, kind of a diversity of people? I know it's very, you have to use the word diversity very carefully today. But it says, these are men who are virgins who've never been defiled with women. And so obviously they are men. And they are men because I believe they're going to be in a plan of God such as evangelist. And so God's going to use them in ministry. We'll say more about that. Number three, they are the first fruits of the redeemed Israel. They're the first fruits of redeemed Israel. You go back to Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, and the Apostle Paul, in his burden for the Jews, of which he was one, says he would give his life even in eternity that his kindred might be saved. And in 9, 10, and 11 of Romans, God through Paul basically confirms that he's not through with his people. That in a way they have been blinded for a period of time that Gentiles might come to the faith. That doesn't mean God has forgotten them or is not going to fulfill his promises with them from the Old Testament. These 144,000 now are the first fruits of what he's going to do for the nation throughout the tribulation and into the millennium. And in Romans chapter 11, it says these are God's elect. And in verse 25, he's speaking of them as the nation of Israel and saying that towards the end of the tribulation, Israel will be saved as in a day. So we could take that the remnant who've survived the troubles and the judgments of the tribulation, that those who survive put their faith in Christ, it's going to be a host of people, though two-thirds of them probably would have died in the tribulation. So they're the first fruits. They're representative of what God's going to do for the nation. And we're reminded that God has spared a remnant in every age. God has spared his people from judgment. Remember Noah. Only Noah and his family survived the flood, but God preserved a remnant so that he could repopulate earth. We know that even Lot, though he was a compromiser with regard to his faith in Christ, Peter says that he vexed his righteous soul with the world, and yet God delivered him, at least his daughters who came out of Lot from certain judgment, or came out of Sodom and Gomorrah from certain judgment. He preserved the Hebrews who were in Egypt under Pharaoh, and God brought his people out. He preserved them from the destruction that was happening in Egypt and through the Red Sea and beyond. So God has preserved his people, and I believe God is going to preserve his church in the rapture of the church. It's not God's will that we should perish or endure the wrath of God in the tribulation, but to obtain salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, Revelation 3, 10, and other passages. So number four, these 144,000 are not from the church. They're not from the church. The church went up in the rapture. Those of us who are saved before the rapture of the church, we'll be in heaven. So it's not a matter of thinking today as to whether we can be a part of the 144,000, the tribulation. Who wants to wait until then? Number five, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They are witnesses for Jehovah, but they're not Jehovah's Witnesses as in the cult which we understand today. The Jehovah's Witnesses had to change their theology because once they thought they had populated a certain number, 144,000, now it's beyond 144,000, we're going to have to change our doctrine. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have changed their doctrine. The Mormons have had to change their doctrine about a number of things because their doctrine was written by man and not according to God's word. And number six, they're not Seventh-day Adventists. The Seventh-day Adventists believe not so much like the Jehovah's Witnesses, but they believe there will be a special faithful group of people out of their faith that will be a part of these 144,000. So where is this happening? This is happening on earth. These are the redeemed of Israel. These are converted Jews. And it's happening sometime in the midst of the tribulation period. We maybe can't put our finger on exactly when in the midst of the 7 years. But chronologically, if we're going through the book of Revelation and we have this parentheses, which Revelation 7 is in the midst of the seal judgments, that before the seventh seal and after the sixth seal, this is presented. And so I would probably take the hypothetical opinion that these people are being called of God, these men are coming to Christ, they've been sealed by God sometime in the midst of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, at least preceding the last 3.5 years. But by the grace of God, if they're protected, as we see here, they're sealed, they're going to live throughout the rest of that 7 year period. And when you see these coming to Christ here in verses 9 through 17, I would take the same opinion that unless there's just an overview of the entire 7 years presenting the 144,000 and people being saved, it could be any time. But if you're trying to put a chronology on it, I would say before the abomination desolation, which is going to be committed by the Antichrist in Jerusalem at the 3.5 year period. And if I'm speaking in such a way today to a crowd that's never heard these things, then I may be confusing you about the abomination desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, in which the man who comes in and makes peace with Israel makes a covenant at the beginning of the 7 years, well, within the 3.5 years at a point in time, reveal who he already, the Bible predicts him to be. Maybe people haven't seen him yet. The Antichrist. He's going to present himself as God. And so excuse me if I'm glossing over some things that I assume that you know. Before the trumpet judgments, before the last round of judgments, the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments that we're going to see in Revelation, which will increase in intensity from anything we've seen already in chapter 6. And what is the ministry of these 144,000? Well, we actually don't know for certain. It's not given here. But you can sense that they are going to have an impact upon the Gentiles who are going to come to faith in Christ in verses 9 through 17. They're going to make a difference in Israel for especially Jews. They're going to be used by God along with the two witnesses and the angel that comes and preaches the everlasting gospel presented later here in Revelation. And if you look back to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, Jesus, in his Olivet Discourse, when he was answering the question by his disciples, when will these things come to pass and what will be the end of the age? Jesus says many things here, but in Matthew 24 and verse 14, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So the all nations are looked at here in the last part of Revelation 7, but they're preceded here by the 144,000. So I believe they're going to have a special ministry and service like Jewish evangelists. How many Jews have trusted Christ and believe that Jesus is the Messiah and are living an outstanding life for Him and are being an evangelist today? There are a few out there. But I submit to you that if a Jew gets saved and he accepts Jesus as the Messiah, he's going to be one of the most outstanding witnesses that you'll find. Because he's now come to the truth. And you think of 144,000 who were sealed by God and are virgins, and their total focus is on worshiping Christ and preaching Christ and living for Christ in the midst of the most terrible time in our history, they got to be something special. They are going to stand out. They're going to be shining lights in a dark world. So God is not only sealing them, He is going to call them to serve Him in a very unique way. Well, let me stop then, because I've come to really considerations for Revelation 7 and verses 1 through 8. And since I went a little bit over time here for the morning worship, I may let you out a few minutes early here for Sunday school. But maybe you have a question, or maybe you have a comment, or you've studied this passage in the past and you would like to add something. You'd like to add something here this morning. Yes, Brad. Whether they go around the world physically or not, or they're shown on CNN and Fox News and and social media and every other medium that we have today to spread the gospel and to communicate, I don't know. I would dare say with transportation, everything we have today, they could easily go around the world and make a difference. And again, take the position as many conservative commentators that they're going to have an impact on all the Gentiles that we'll see this afternoon in verses 9 through 17. If you see a Jew that's taking a bold stand for Jesus Christ, it's going to get your attention. And in the midst of the times of the Antichrist, people are going to take notice. All right, can we use the word hypothesize? We can wonder exactly how these men will be used, but it's going to be exciting. We won't be here. How much we'll see from heaven looking down, I don't know. But we by faith can know that God's going to work. And God is working today. And everything that we're seeing today somehow is in preparation for what's going to come here. If a person came to you and told you, I'm one of the 144,000, how would you answer him? Yes. Yeah, are you a Jew? All right. What else? When are the 144,000 called? In the tribulation. Are we in the tribulation? No. How can a person know they're one of the 144,000 if they're not there yet? And they're also basically saying whatever their opinion is or their confusion about the rapture of the church, that they have confidence they're going to live from this state into the tribulation. That's a very serious error. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the two witnesses come in Revelation chapter 11. It does not give us any impression that they were part of the 144,000. Is it Enoch? Is it Elijah? Is it Moses? We don't know who they will be, whether it's going to be, I hate to use this word, a reincarnation of saints that never died, Enoch and Elijah. They were raptured up into heaven. And I believe a type, a picture of the rapture. Moses died, but they couldn't find his body. They couldn't find where he was buried. Some believe that Elijah will come back representing the prophets and that Moses will come back representing the law. Well, we don't know who the two witnesses are, and I don't see anything here that they're part of the 144,000. But they're going to be two flaming evangelists who will boldly proclaim Christ. And then they're going to be killed by the Antichrist. And then after 3 days, they're going to rise again. And it's going to be on national, international television. chills go down my spine even thinking about that. But between the 144,000 and the two witnesses, and what we'll read about later on, the angel that will preach the everlasting gospel, man is going to be totally without excuse. And some have said, Jesus will not come back until the gospel has been preached around the world. No, that is not accurate. The gospel will be preached around the world during the tribulation. Nothing is prohibitive of Jesus coming back in the next moment. That's extra. All right, well, it's 11:39. And I understand that 11:35 to 40 is when you folks normally are dismissed. So unless somebody else has another question or comment, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are in control, that your word will come to pass, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall not pass away. And that every jot and every tittle of the Old Testament promises will be fulfilled. So, Lord, we can't explain how all of this will happen. We don't know when it will happen. But God, through your word in the book of Revelation, you've given us a picture, a window of what's to come. So, Lord, we have the privilege of knowing the truth. And so, Lord, help us to be armed and ready to give an answer to every man, every person who would ask us a reason of the hope that we have within us, with respect, with meekness, and fear. Lord, bless these people. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.